Turn in your Bibles tonight, if you will, to Exodus chapter 2. Kind of going back from what we preached on this morning, just cover a few things with the man Moses. You know, Joshua and Caleb talked about what Moses had said, what Moses had promised through God. Moses promised Caleb some land, and this morning we talked about the Mount Hebron and what God was going to give to Caleb. And Caleb said, I want that mountain. And so tonight we want to look at Exodus chapter 2. We're going to look at Moses tonight, and we could certainly read all of this, but let's start at verse 11. Exodus 2 verse 11, and we're going to read, I don't know, maybe through the end of the chapter. I'll be like Dr. Tom Malone, an old pastor of mine. He said, I read the scriptures until I find something to preach on, and then I preach. Amen. So we're going to read the scriptures until we get fed up with scripture. All right? And then we'll preach it out. All right? So look at Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. If you look at that, it says, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. That's not a good place to bury somebody, in the sand. Usually your sins will find you out. Amen. Verse 13 says, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that ye are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, and where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Let's stop right there today. Father, we love you. Thank you for your precious word. Pray, Lord, there's something for everybody in a message. There's something for everybody in God's word. And we pray, Lord, we'll be in tune to the Spirit of God and what, Lord, you'd have to say to each of us individually. And Lord, what maybe you have to say to us as a church corporately. So Lord, just have your will and your way tonight, and we'll thank you for it. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses' life is divided up into 40-year increments. 40 years he was in Pharaoh's house. In the story that we read here tonight, he had come out from Pharaoh's house. He had been raised there by Pharaoh's daughter, and he had learned all the ways of Egypt. I'm sure he learned militarily how to handle himself. He knew physically how to handle himself. He wasn't a weakling. He was well fed, well dealt with on how to handle himself and so forth, and well educated for that day as well. 40 years in Pharaoh's house, and then 40 years on the backside of the desert. And the last 40 years, he would be with Israel as he brings them out of Egypt into the wilderness, heading for the promised land. Now, what we read here tonight is the beginning of the second 40 years. 40 years he'd been in Pharaoh's house. And then 40 years he's going to end up on the backside of the desert. I think probably one of those times in his life where he wondered what happened is verse 15. It said, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Now notice this, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. It's like he's on the top of the mountain, so to speak. It's as if it seemed like everything was going for him. He lived well, he was fed well, he was trained well. Things were good in his life, but then he's seen his own people, the people of Israel, and he's seen how they were treated, and he stepped out to try to be a help to them, and he ends up out in the middle of nowhere, sitting on the edge of a well, all alone. Doesn't know anybody around him. Doesn't know what's going to happen next. It could have been one of the most lonely times and desperate times in Moses' life. So Moses, now as I said, has come to that second 40 years of his life. If you hold your place there and go to Acts chapter 7, again, you don't have to, we'll read it here in just a moment, but I always encourage people to turn. It's good to know the Bible, and it's good to see it for yourself. But in Acts chapter 7, Stephen's been addressing the council and the high priest, and he's giving them a history lesson here. And in Acts chapter 7, it says in verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God, by his hand, would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them, and they strove and would have set them at one against, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons, and when 40 years was expired. First 40 in Pharaoh's house, as he said, where he learned and was learned in the wisdom of the Egyptians. That's going to have to change if he's going to serve the Lord. He's learned in the wisdom of the Egyptian. He was mighty in words. He was mighty in deeds. And it says in verse 23, when he was a full 40 years old, it came to his heart to visit his brethren. So now we're in the second, back in Exodus chapter 2, we're in that second 40 years. Moses had decided now to identify himself with the people of God. And I think we can learn something here tonight. We can learn a principle. There's a principle that we must learn if we're going to serve God and do it in God's way. And here's the thought. Before we can do, we must be. Notice the do and the be. Before we can do, we must be. We must be internally what God wants us to be before we are fit externally for what God wants us to do. Again, before we can do, we must be. Now this morning we talked about character. We said that Caleb had character, and we talked about his honesty and his charity and his devotion and so forth. Character is being what you ought to be on the outside that comes from what you are on the inside. Character never tries to keep up with the external. Character is what we be that will produce what we do. I know that's not real good English, but I'm trying to get the be and the do in there, all right? So we need to be what God wants us to be so we can do what God wants us to do. I think many people cause ruin in their lives by trying to do something so they can be something. And that's not how it works. You don't try to do something so you can be something. Churches, ministries, preachers, evangelists, missionaries. Sometimes go out there trying to do things so they can be something. No, no, no. You got to be something. Then God can do something with you. It's the be before the do. And that's the principle that we have here tonight. God was working in Moses' life for him to be something so God can use him to do something. Now we said he was wise in the ways of Egypt. That isn't going to work. Egypt's a type of the world in the Bible. Pharaoh's a type of Satan in the Bible. And so I don't need to be wise in the world. I need to be wise in the things of God. And that helps me to be what God wants me to be. So in turn, God can use me in His service to do what God wants to do. So Moses tries to deliver Israel in his own strength. After all, that's what he had learned in the schools of Egypt. It's how strong you are and so forth. You know, that's the problem. We haven't figured that out in some circles, why we have these terrorists. Well, I'll tell you what, you try to be nice to them, they'll cut your head off. They want to see strength. That's what they look to. That's what Egypt looked at. How strong are you? So Moses walks out in his own strength. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He's been fed well. He's been trained well. And in his own strength, he tries to do something so it can be something. And God said, that isn't the way it works, Moses. I'm going to have to take you somewhere and to teach you and to train you. I want you to be something so you can do something for me. So Moses tried to deliver Israel in his own strength, and he ends up having to flee to the backside of a desert in Midian, and there he's setting, as verse 15 says, setting at the side of a well, doesn't know anybody around. These girls come to get the water and to feed the flock, and some shepherds come along and shoo away the flock and take over the troughs and starts to feed their own. And Moses gets up again in his own strength and moves them away. All right. Well, that worked. He got done what he wanted to do, but he isn't where God wants him to be in his doing. And so God begins to work in Moses' life. And I want us to look at three ways that God worked in the life of Moses here tonight. And I think this is true for you and I. The way God wants to work in our lives. This is not, well, over here, this way God did Moses. No, this is the way God does all of us. God wants us to be something so He can use us to do something. He isn't interested in us doing something, so somehow or other we end up being something. Well, we got our wires crossed there. That isn't the way God works. And so let's look at these three ways God worked in the life of Moses very quickly tonight. Number one, notice God's timing. God's timing. It's our commitment, our desire to serve the Lord. What did Caleb said? He wanted to wholly follow the Lord. He was wholehearted in God. It's our commitment, but it's God's control that makes the difference. God has to have committed Christians. God has to have somebody that wants to do something. What was it that Moses wanted to do? He wanted to stand against Pharaoh and stand against Egypt and stand for the people of God, the nation of Israel. That's a good thing. And he made that commitment. Unfortunately, he did it in his own strength, and God had to teach him how he needed to trust in him. And one of those things he needed was God's timing. So you see, Moses assumed that because he had committed himself to God and God's will, what he believed to be God's will is to help the Israelites out, the Jews out, that it would also be God's time. And folks, that's not always true. Sometimes we want to do something, but God says, now is not when I want you to do it. You have to be in God's time. Notice verse 14 back there in Exodus chapter 2. He said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. It wasn't the time. So Abraham made, I think, the same mistake that Moses made. Moses made this mistake that it surely must be God's will, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Abraham had done the same thing. You remember, God said, I'm going to give you a son, and out of that will become a great nation. So Sarah, she's getting old, and out of the time of childbearing, and she wants to give Abraham a son. So what'd she do? She said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll give you Hagar, my handmaid, to wife. And sure enough, Hagar had a son. His name is Ishmael. He would be a thorn in the side of the nation of Israel for all eternity, or at least until the Lord comes back again. Why? Because it wasn't God's timing. In Genesis 17, God said, I'm going to give you a son. Now listen to this. I'm going to give you a son in a set time. There's going to be a time when you have a son. Genesis 17, 21. By the way, in Genesis 21, 2, that's exactly what happened. Sarah brings forth a son. You know, God promised a Savior. But you remember what the Bible says about when that Savior would come? We're about ready to hear those verses because it's Christmas time. It said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. You see, it's our commitment, but it's God's timing and God's control in our life. Here I am, Lord, use me. I'd like to do this. God, it's up to you, to show me the way. Give me the time. I don't need to step out on my own strength, figure out how I'm going to do it, because it's not about your doing, it's about your being, and let God deal with that in your life. A second thing about that is training and testing before tackling in the service of God. Let me say it again. It's training and testing before tackling our service for God. God never sends you out untrained. God never sends you out untested. God never sends you out until He's tackled the work that He wants you to do in your life. You will be prepared if you wait on the timing of God. God's timing. Then secondly, of the three things, God's training. Kind of goes along with the timing. And it goes along with this testing, and let's use the word tackling our service for God. It's God's training. God uses circumstances, how he trains us. That's how he did it in Moses' life. God uses some circumstances to get him where he wanted him to be. Where did he want him to be? He wanted him on, believe it or not, he wanted to use him to bring Israel out of Egypt. So what did he do with him? He sent him all the way to Midian, to a desert place. Now, why in the world would he send him to Midian in a desert place around people he did not know? Because he had been trained in the household of Pharaoh and the wisdom of Egypt. He had to get rid of that. Now, God used the circumstances of Moses' life to get him in the place of training. Again, in verse 15, he says he ends up dwelling in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well there. Probably he sat down with his head in his hands, so to speak, trying to figure out what happened. The day or two before, things were totally different than they were now. What's going on? Well, God is beginning the training part of his life. You know, God wants to train you for whatever it is he wants you to do. Because he wants you to be something before he ever expects you to do something. And how does that happen? By training. You know, well, I'm going to this doctor. Oh, how many years was he trained to be a doctor? Oh, he wasn't. He just decided yesterday he's going to be a brain surgeon. I don't think I want to see that guy. Need some training. Need some practice. From the smallest job to the hardest job. Folks, whatever it is, pretty much everything that we do in our life, when we first start doing, you know, Dave's back here, he's directing music or traffic or something. But anyway, he's directing. And it's a little awkward for him. He's figuring out what he's doing here. And I understand that. But you know what? He'll gradually slip into it. What does he need? A little practice. A little training. Now and then I'll say, do this or do that. Try to help him out a little bit. How he needs to do it. We have to have the training. From the smallest thing to the biggest thing that's going on in our life. And that's true of God. Well, I'm just going to do it, bless God, and I know God will bless. Says who? As I look at the Bible, that isn't how God dealt with any these men and women in the Bible. He had a training course that they went through. By the way, it was basically OJT. You know what that means? On-the-job training. And to be honest with you, that's some of the best training you can get. Matter of fact, you can go through college, master's degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree, doctor's degree, all that. But if you never go out and do something with it, if you never go out there and learn from it, you'll probably never make much of yourself. Or you get the position, but you really don't know what you're doing. Some of the greatest ways of learning a position, a job, a work, is to train in it. Somebody showing you, as they say, the ropes. And that's what God does with all of us. It's amazing, back here in James chapter 1, the book right after the book of Hebrews. Remember what it says, it's familiar verses to you. James, the servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Listen to this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You want to, what that means? You're going to be prepared for whatever it is that God wants you to do. Just have patience. But it says there's going to be trials or tribulations or problems going to come into your life, and you're going to learn from it. Some of the things I've learned to do over life is because I had a problem. The faucet leaks. We've got to figure out how to stop that from leaking. Electrical problem. A car problem. A wife problem. Whatever it is. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to work on it? Whatever you got to do. In case you're wondering, he said trade her off. That is not what I said. That's what he said. When problems come, don't turn to run. Turn to God. There's a reason He has allowed it in your life, and you're going to learn from it. You're going to be better for it, and it's going to prepare you in God's work in your life and for you. Because He's trying to make you be something so that He can turn around and do something in and through you. God's timing, God's training. I said that circumstances get us to the place of training. And that's what happened to him. Not only that, but God's training always includes something. You know what it is? It's a word that we hear a lot about. It's the word humility. God's training always includes humbling. Look at Exodus chapter 2 there. And look at verse 16, Exodus 2:16. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that ye are come so soon today? And why are you back so soon from water? It always takes you a lot longer than that." And they said in verse 19, "An Egyptian delivered us." How do they know he's an Egyptian? I thought he was a Jew. He looked like an Egyptian. That tells me something. I mean, better be careful. Sometimes we want to look like, act like, talk like, be like the world. I think that's what he was. Why? 40 years in Egypt, he's like the Egyptians. Again, God needs to change that. You know, God needs to change that in your life and mine. We're not to be like the world out there. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not their unclean things. And I'm going to be a father unto you. And you're going to be my sons and daughters. What he means by it, you're his son and daughter because you're saved. But what he's saying is, don't be like the world. Be the way I want you to be. Be a son and daughter. Don't let people look at you and say, what worldly family did you come from? But they look at you and listen to you and watch the way you behave yourself, and they say there's something different about them. Yeah, I'm a child of my father, God. And I want to be recognized as such. They said, there's an Egyptian that delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock. And he said unto his daughters, where is he? Why is he that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread. Verse 21 said, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. You know, and I go back and I look into the Bible, I find that, like Jesus himself, it speaks of him being humble. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, you remember this verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," listen to this, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." And what did I say? God's training always includes humbling. Was God training the Lord Jesus? No, that's not the point. The point is the Lord Jesus trying to train us, and he said he humbled himself. It didn't say God the Father humbled the Son, or somebody out in the world humbled Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. Humility is always a part of the service of God. It's always a part of his training. As long as I walk around like I'm number one guy in the world, chances are God's not going to be able to use me. Once I think I've got it all figured out and I can do whatever, I can play the piano, you know, the time will come maybe I can work at it and play better than Michael. And I can walk around here and get out of the road, Michael. I'll take this one over for you. Is God really going to use a guy like that? No. God uses the humble. Moses had to learn that God would not deliver Israel in the prideful enemy and the prideful enemy of the flesh. In other words, you can't just walk up and say, hey, I'm Moses, I was trained in Egypt, and I'm the stepson of Pharaoh, or however you want to put it. Listen, look who I am. God says, I'm not interested in who you think you are. I want you to be something before you can do something. And what you need to be is you need to be a servant of the Lord. And all servants of God show humility. You remember the three enemies of God and man? Remember what they are in 1 John? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Remember what the third one was? The pride of life. Pride. Remember that. God's training always includes humbling. Let me read to you. You can turn there if you like, but Deuteronomy, I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Listen to what this says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 8, 1 says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee. That's part of training there. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Why in the world did God put them through the wilderness, spend all that time? They were in training. And part of that training was what? They needed to be humble before the Lord. In other words, God says there's something I want you to be before I can use you for what I want to do. God's training, God's timing. Then there's number three and the last, and we'll close, God's testing. God's testing. 40 years they're to be tested. Both Moses and Israel are to be tested for this next 40 years. By the way, 40 is the number of testing, or for testing in the Bible. I'm not a numerologist. I'm not real big in what all the numbers mean in the Bible and so forth. 3 is the number of God. 6 is the number of man. 7 is the number of completeness, so forth and so on. And so I realize some of those things, and they're important, and when we know them, and it helps us sometimes to figure out what God is really doing in a certain situation. But 40 I find to be the number of testing. How do you know that? Well, for example, the first big test that came along was the flood of Noah's day. How long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. Now, about 3 weeks ago, the choir came to practice at 5. At about 5:30 or so that night, it's like the heavens opened and we were trying to build an ark, but we didn't have anything to build it with. I mean, it rained. The old proverb, cat and dogs, amen. And there's few rats and mice thrown in there. I mean, it was really coming down. Big time. By the way, some of you might remember the dear black lady that walked in the door while it was raining, and she come running in there. Who nobody knew who she was. Well dressed, the nice lady, very well mannered in every way, and she said, "I'm lost. I'm looking for this street, and I don't know where it's at." And it turned out it was the next street up here, the cul-de-sac where you turn in behind us here, was the street. And so we gave her that, and she left, and I gave her a track, and other people shook her hand and invited her to stay here if she wanted, whatever. But she was looking for a Bible study or something going on up here in that cul-de-sac, a family, you know, through their church was doing. I just got a card thanking us. She said, in that storm, I could only see one light. This church was lit up in that storm. And she said, I ran for the light. You are the light in the storm, is what she said. And I want to thank you for your kindness, and all that. She just thanking us for all those things. And what a blessing that is, a light in the storm. That would be a good thing to be, wouldn't it? And so, 40. 40, the number of testing. Noah had it rain 40 days and 40 nights. I personally believe that it was a flood over all the earth. Yeah, how can that be? Well, I'll tell you what, it was pretty bad out there, and we just had a couple hours of rain. Can you imagine the heavens opening up and just the waters coming down? My goodness. Just in a few hours, there was flash flood warnings all across your phones and so forth and so on. 40 days and 40 nights it rained. What's going on? God's testing. And then I think of Israel. How long did Israel go through the wilderness? For 40 years. God's testing. Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 3, he gets baptized, and then the Bible says that the Holy Spirit led him out into the wilderness. How long was he out there? For 40 days. 40, the number of testing. Back again in Acts chapter 7, and just let me turn there real quick if I can find it. Maybe you can find it quicker than I can. But Acts chapter 7, let me read verse 29. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. 40 years of testing. God tested Moses' ability to deliver and to care for creatures. What was he doing for those 40 years on the backside of Midian? What was he doing back there? He was taking care of sheep. One minute he's kind of like a general in the Egyptian army. He's one of the top dogs and so forth. And now he's on the backside of a desert where there's not a whole lot of people around, and he's tending sheep for his father-in-law. That will humble you, but it's also going to train you for something. God didn't want him to be an Egyptian leader. God wanted him to be a leader of his sheep. Moses learned to herd sheep of Jethro before he could learn to lead God's sheep, his people. We see here God's testing, and Moses' ability to deliver and to care for God's creatures. I think very few of us have learned life's lessons because of ease or because it happened quickly. I think most of us learn lessons because of a difficulty and over a period of time. And that's the way God teaches us. Moses had spent 40 years in Egypt learning the Egypt's way. So what did God do? Had him spend what? 40 years on the backside of the desert learning what God wanted him to do. God wants you to be something so God can do something with you and with your life. God always tests for surety before he takes those into his service. Moses, we know him as the man of God. We know him as the one that led the nation of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness, brought them up to the edge of the Jordan River to go into the promised land. Moses, the man of God. That God actually was face to face with him. Not too many could say that, can they? Face to face with God. But he started out, look like, act like, smell like, be like an Egyptian, because he was in that for 40 years. And God says, I'm going to have to take you out. I'm going to have to put you somewhere and train you. I need to humble you. I need to show you how you need to handle yourself. In other words, Moses, you're going to have to be something that I want you to be before you can do something that I want you to do. Moses, the man of God. Remember, it's God's timing, God's training, and God's testing that's going to make our lives all that our life can be, and it's going to be for our good, and it's going to be for God's glory. So, let's go out and serve the Lord as he works in our hearts for us to be what he wants us to be. That's just taking so long, preacher. That's all right. Took 40 years to deal with Moses. But then for 40 years, God used him to lead the nation of Israel. Let's be that kind of Christian. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be so you can use me to do whatever you want to do. Let's bow our heads for prayer. So our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around tonight. I hope God has in some way spoken to your heart, maybe challenged you about being the Christian, the child of God that God wants you to be. I don't know about you. I don't think I've arrived yet in every area of my life. I still got a lot of training, testing, a lot of trying, maybe some humbling that maybe God wants to do in my life. God wants to teach me that I might be used for his honor and his glory. I think that's true of all of us Christians here tonight. Why don't you let God work in your life that you may be what God wants you to be, that you may be able to do what God wants you to do. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your precious word. I pray that it spoke to our heart as we look over our life and where we're at now and where the direction we're heading. Maybe, Lord, we need to come and say, here am I, Lord. I want to be what you want me to be. Because, Lord, I want you to do what you want to do with me and through me. Father God, I want to be used. So try me and test me and train me. May I be humble as a servant of God to be used for your honor and glory. So Lord, have your will and your way in your hearts of your people. May we be willing to answer that call tonight. And God, that you might begin to do a work in our lives as our mind are set, our minds are set. Lord, here am I. use me. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.